This is KAYT-FM. 88.1 Gina Alexandria. 92.5 Greenwood Shreveport. K223BI. 98.9 Monroe, West Monroe. K255BT. 100.1 Lake Charles. K261EB. And KQJO-FM. 99.3 St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi. And online at www.kaytfm.com.
Gino's return is approaching fast. It's not enough for us to sit and wait, yeah. As our awesome bar on earth, we must demonstrate, yeah.
As the children who seek to
we'll be right back. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
It's God, and he got alone where he could really talk to the Father. Jesus did not simply go through the motion of prayer. He wrestled with prayer. He agonized, praise God, in prayer. He agonized in prayer because he was facing the hour of his test, the hour of his arrest, and he was facing the completion of his purpose. He was looking into the very cup, praise God, that he had to carry out for his Father's will. I'm hoping y'all seeing what I'm trying to tell you. You see, in his hands, praise God, was the figurative, what we call the third cup. It was the cup of the Passover, the one that represented the shed blood of the Lamb. And Jesus wrestled with his greatest temptation because because before him, there were only two possibilities. Y'all know what the possibilities were? Praise God. One possibility was to find another way. In other words, he could have let the cup pass. He could have done that. He could have let the cup pass. The only other possibility that he had, and I thank God that he took number two. Praise God that he could have done is was take the cup, drink all of it, and with it, take all that was prepared for him. And praise God, because his desire was to do the Father's will, praise God, but he still, praise God, was in a powerful struggle. I'm talking about one that cannot even be described by your human mind. Oh yeah, you see, 1 Corinthians lets us know that we will never be tempted beyond what we can bear under God's power. Praise God, we can be brought right to the limits of our level of temptation. But Jesus, my brothers and my sisters, Jesus was stretched to the greatest limits with this temptation, because it meant so much to obey his Father's will and drink this cup. It meant seven things. It meant suffering. It meant agony. It meant rejection. It meant hatred. It meant pain. It meant separation from the Father. And of course, it meant death. To disobey or to pass the cup meant a failed plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you ought to be glad it wasn't a failed plan. It meant, praise God, a cup that could not be taken by anyone else, because God had already said, praise God, John had already penned at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Praise God, and whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Not only that, it meant a people still lost in their sins without redemption. So in my mind, I could see his struggle in this fervent prayer. And as I said earlier, I'm glad to hear him say at the B clause in verse 42, he said, if it will possible, let this cup pass from me. I like that word, nevertheless. Turn to your neighbor, he said, tell him, say, nevertheless. What he meant by nevertheless, in other words, nevertheless, in spite of the suffering, in spite of the agony, in spite of the rejection, in spite of the pain, the hatred, the separation from the Father, and in spite of death, not my will, but thine will be done. You see, he made the right decision, and God sent an angel to strengthen Jesus. And because of the agony, praise God, the Bible says he prayed more fervently until his sweat was as drops of blood falling to the ground. Can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, that was some agony. That was some serious prayer. Praise God. And sometimes, praise God, we will face temptations and trials that will cause us to have to lay prostrate before our Lord in fervent and sincere prayer. And while there, we will receive the strength needed to make the right decision. So, in order to handle his temptation, his greatest temptation, first of all, Jesus found him a place where he could pray. And then after he found a place where he could pray, he got down on his knees. And the Bible says that he prayed a fervent prayer, which meant that he was sincere about his prayer. He was serious about that prayer because he knew how serious the task that he had at hand. Finally, and as I get ready to close, we see that he faced the greatest temptation. He sought, praise God, a place where he could pray to his Father. Secondly, praise God, he was serious and sincere in his prayer. Praise God. But finally, we see Jesus stand strong after praying. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you may labor in prayer, but after it's all over, you'll be able to stand strong. The reason why I had to say that when we get into some serious problems, when we face some of those serious trials, we can't just pray one of those short prayers. We're going to have to pray one of those prayers. Praise God, like, it's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, not my sister, nor my brother, but it's me, my God, standing in the need of prayer. And when we look at verse 43, it said that after he had prayed, where the sweat was almost like blood dropping from his body, he said, there appeared an angel unto him. And the angel came from heaven and strengthened him. And then when we look at verse 45 and 46, and it says he arose from prayer and was come to his disciples. Oh, I like this part. And he found them sleeping for sorrow. I said that he stood up and he was strong. You see, and verse 46 says, and he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. What he was trying to tell them, the temptation is coming. But what I want you to do is, I don't want you to yield to temptation. You see, these verses show that Jesus got up. And when he got up, he was resolved, praise God, to accomplish the task that was before him. What did he do? He fixed his eyes on Calvary. The Hebrew writer gives us some insight as to what Jesus faced and what happened as he stood to take on the challenge of the cross. I want you to put Hebrew chapter 5, verse 7 through 9 on the marquee. It says, who in the days of his flesh when he had offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he was son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them, praise God, all that obey him. You see, he struggled, he prayed, he cried, praise God, he shed drops of blood as he prayed. But still Jesus took the cup of the Passover and he drank every drop of it. He learned to obey in the garden, and because of our salvation, praise God, he provided the source of eternal life for all of us. Praise God, somebody may be sitting out there and ask me, how do I know? How do I know he drank the full cup? How did I know he drank every drop? Because one Friday evening, praise God, after they had whipped him all night long, they led him up a hill called Calvary.